Welcome to the Informed Pregnancy and Parenting Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Elliot Berlin. Today's guest is a cosmetic rejuvenation artist who has been New York's secret skincare weapon for well over a decade. She's collaborated with some of the most elite faces of the fashion, finance, society, and art communities. Her skincare philosophy takes a non-invasive, holistic approach to aesthetic rejuvenation and conscious aging using a combination of Eastern and Western medicine practices. She's a mama to one, soon to be two, if we don't hurry, could be right now. Nusha Salimi, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
I know nothing about skincare, except for one thing, which is what I told you the other day. When I work on you, on your body, it's boring to me because when people have bumpy skin, it's really exfoliating for my hands, and your skin is so soft. And
I told Richard that, and he's like,
Yeah, I get no value out of it whatsoever. Where did you start? How did skin become your thing?
Actually, I was in the kind of beauty world ever since I was a little girl because my parents had beauty schools growing up.
Beauty schools?
Yeah. Where,
what does that even mean? I've heard the song about the dropout.
It was basically that. But they had a beauty school in upstate New York for cosmetology, makeup artistry.
Oh, really?
And, yeah.
How'd they get into it?
Well, that's a whole other
story. New world? Okay.
A whole other story. But they... came over from, my dad was from Iran, my mom from Scotland. They met, and they both were kind of artists, and they came over and they started playing with hair, and the next thing they knew, they got a hair school.
Wow.
Yeah, so when I was
about... As soon as I think of Iranian men, the first thing that pops into my head is beauty school.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah, it was either doctor, beauty school, or architect. Yeah. So, yeah, they did that. And so when I was around the age of five, I was kind of around that world. So I understood it. And then later on in life, I knew I always wanted to work in nursing because I had volunteered at the New York State Mental Institution when I was around the age of 15. And then I started a nursing program through my school that I was going to and became a nurse around the age of 18, a licensed nurse.
Wow. That's really young. You must have been the baby of the class.
I was definitely a baby of the class. And looking back, 18. I was like, how the heck did I do
some
of the...
How did you do
it? It was bizarre. Like, some of the things I experienced were just bizarre. But it was in... So I was working in the mental institution and I saw things and it really taught me... a different form of communication because a lot of the patients that I had were non-communicative. Mm-hmm. So basically, when not knowing, I was doing energy work when people were having episodes. If they were having breakdowns or weren't able to communicate their feelings, I would just be sitting with them. And that's how, fast forward 12 or 13 years later, the Reiki work, I feel like, really was able to integrate into my practice.
Okay, what is Reiki?
Reiki is a form of energetic healing that can calm the nervous system down and remove stagnant energy in the body. Looking back, when I was younger, I was using energy work to help calm whoever I was with who was having, you know, whether it was friends or working in the nursing world or even for myself. But when I would kind of hone in onto that energy, I would see the difference in calming the nervous system down. Mm-hmm.
So you became a Reiki master.
So I became a Reiki master.
What's the training like for that?
So I ended up working with a really amazing practitioner. Her name's Ambie, and she also is a sound healer. And basically with her, I did a one-on-one training where...
Ooh, that's nice.
We were in her house doing it together, and I was with her for, I don't know, 10 hours for the first time. And then the second day, we did another, like, 8 hours. And it's a whole kind of course that you're learning different methods on how to use the symbols and use the Reiki on a daily basis. So she's a really great teacher because she was able to kind of break things down in a way to quickly kind of absorb the information. And then I waited for about a year before I did it again, become a Reiki master. And it's another 3-day course. But anyone can do it because everyone has those healing powers within them. It's just figuring out how to harness them and how to bring them forth.
You're so mellow. I've never seen you, like, worked up.
Me?
Do you get worked up?
When my daughter Rumi doesn't stop going in my ear all the time.
You can get worked up?
I generally don't really get worked up unless, like, I'm kind of, because I'm a Virgo, a double Virgo, I think I am a little bit of a perfectionist. Mm-hmm. But I think that through meditation and a lot of the work that I've done for myself and...
That's how you stay mellow?
Yeah. I think it helps.
You can just take something. All right, so skincare. So you went from growing up in skincare She's studying nursing. Yeah. You're like the Doogie Howser of nurses at 18.
It was crazy. So then,
and then you're working in...
So I did a lot of counseling with different patients and learned different methods of talk therapy. And then eventually when I moved to New York City, I wanted to actually work in mental health and continue that. But when I moved there, I was still super young, and it was during the recession, and all the nurses who were going to be retiring actually didn't retire that.
Oh.
So I was like, oh no, there was no jobs actually in the city. So I ended up working out of a place that wasn't in a very safe area outside of the city. And then I had a boyfriend at the time who was like, this is not okay. You need to start working in the city where it's a safer area. And he knew a plastic surgeon who was looking for a job. And I literally at the time didn't know what Botox was. I didn't even know what plastic surgery was. And I went into his office and I interviewed with him. And he was just asking me questions like, oh, I'd worked in the OR because I'd done some rotations. I'd seen total hip surgeries. I'd seen open heart surgeries. And
wow.
I'd been to a birth. And I remember at that time I was actually in nursing school and I was only 17. And it was the first time I'd experienced tears of joy.
Oh, wow.
I remember being in this room and this young girl was giving birth and all of a sudden she goes, why is that nurse crying? And I'm looking around, I'm like, who's crying? And I go to rub my face. I'm like, I was like, no, these are happy tears. Cause I had never seen something that was like, oh my God, life just came. And it was like so profound to me.
I still get them when I'm at a birth.
I mean, I
almost
can
every
imagine.
Time. People are like, hey, Dr. B, come take a picture. I'm like, thank God I don't wear mascara.
It's crazy. I mean, it's such a beautiful thing to witness.
I also remember I took a doula who was training. I was training her, and I took her to the first birth she was ever at. You know, it was intense. It's always intense. And when that baby, it was at a birthing center, and she was in a tub laboring. When that baby finally came out, the doula in training that I had brought just let out the biggest. She just couldn't hold it back. Tears were streaming down, and she, you know, it was all happy. I don't know. It's joy. It's triumph. I don't know. But anyway, I can relate, I guess is what I'm saying. Move on.
Yeah, so going back to that, so basically I hadn't experienced what it was to be in plastic surgery. So then he was like, well, for whatever reason, he saw something in me and he was like, come work him in the OR. The next thing you know, I'm assisting in the OR, doing stitches, learning different things about how to administer Botox, how to do fillers. And then where I found almost like a balance for me was when I could find the art in doing Botox and fillers in a way that could make people age naturally. Because what I saw in the city that was really, it just didn't sit well with me is that so many people started to look bizarre to me.
Mm, I've seen that.
And it's just like, and there was this fine line where people suddenly started to just go over that line. And there wasn't a way to kind of come back from it. So where I enjoyed bringing the mental health aspect into it is being able to counsel some people who would keep on coming back and be like, I need more. And I realized it wasn't actually a outer appearance thing. It was something that was going on from within.
Oh, wow.
So when I first started realizing that I could kind of work with people on that level to kind of help them not feel the need to keep going back for more and more and more, that's when I started to kind of integrate into my own practice in New York. And then it was like I did one or two people and they looked amazing and natural and not overdone. And then the New York business started to really grow. And then here we are 11 years later.
Yeah. So you did more training?
Well, I did more training because after 18, I continued on and I did more nursing training than I did specifically in the OR. I did a lot of training and I've done trainings with the Allergan companies where they make Botox and Juvederm and Voluma and all the fillers.
Mm-hmm. And your practice then, because I don't know that much about skincare, but what you're saying is you use both, right? So it sounds like you're using the products for more of the external changes. And, and your other whole tool belt of tools, energy work and almost like counseling for the internal changes.
Yeah, because I think that when you're able to find that balance is when someone can truly age gracefully and not go over that line of all of a sudden people are like, what happened to, you know, Susie or, you know, Hank?
That must be an incredibly unique approach to skincare.
I mean, I'm hoping, this is my hope, is that people are starting, practitioners are starting to become more aware of that. And they're not just overfilling people and letting them keep coming back for more and more because of the money aspect of it.
I overfill myself.
You look perfect.
Oh, thank you. That means a lot coming from you. At what age do people, is like a good time to start working on anti-aging?
Well, whenever someone starts to become aware of it, I think it's you could always talk about it. You know, even if you're talking to your younger children about just simply washing their face morning and night, just for cleanliness. But generally speaking, I mean, I see people from the ages of 18 all the way up to, I think I have one patient who's in their hundreds, 102 maybe.
Working on rejuvenation?
Yes.
Trying to look like not a day over 97?
Yeah, exactly.
that's when you start using fillers even sometimes as a teenager?
No. So I do, that's when sometimes I'll do some of the more of the Reiki facial side of things. And
without products?
Yeah, without products. So I use medical grade peels, but the way I kind of gauge it is that I'll look at the person's skin and see what their skin needs are. So I won't ever make someone have like a deep peel where their skin is sloughing off, but I'll do it enough where their skin gets a little dry so they can have a deeper exfoliation to help shrink the pores, help with fine lines, and clear up acne or old acne scars. So that's something you can do without using the products like Botox fillers and any of that type of thing.
So using more natural products?
Yeah, for the beginning part of the facial, I'll generally use just like a very natural cleanser, exfoliant. I'll do something called dermaplaning, which exfoliates the skin. And this is something that pregnant women can do because one of the big things when you're pregnant, you have to avoid doing all, you can't do Botox, you can't do fillers, you can't do lasers, and you can't do deep peels.
Really? Even just localized? They're all contraindicated?
Yeah. I mean, there's just not enough studies to show what could possibly happen. Like, I would never want to have a mother do that, and then, you know, God forbid something happened. You'd always question.
Better be safe.
Yeah. But also a big reason why is because when our hormones are all kind of fluctuating all over the place, we have a higher chance in our hyperpigmenting, which is when some of the women get the facial masks of the brown spots.
The chloasma.
Yeah. So that's like a huge thing in pregnancy that women sometimes don't realize can happen because you're exposed to the sun more, your melanin's up, and you get more hyperpigmentation. So my biggest thing I always tell those clients is like, make sure you're wearing SPF that's at least 40 or above with zinc in order to prevent that.
Are you contracting?
Yeah.
Okay, me too. I just thought I would check.
Can you see when I'm contracting?
Not in your belly, but I just see, I can see your facial reactions to it and your movements.
So yesterday too, I actually was at the doctor's and I was having contractions like pretty frequently.
How many weeks are you?
Well, I was supposed to be, I think, 31, but he told us yesterday that the date was actually off and I'm actually coming out 2 weeks earlier.
33?
I think I'm 33 now, yeah.
Oh, wow. Look at that. You'll never get those 2 weeks back.
I know.
Talk more about pregnancy and skincare. So those things that you can't do.
So the things you can't do are lasers, Botox, fillers.
All my favorite things.
Yep. You can't, you know, and you want to be really mindful about avoiding the sun as much as possible because that's what's going to bring out that pregnancy mask that everyone ends up complaining about. And generally it takes about a year to really balance it out.
After pregnancy to go away?
Yeah. And if you're breastfeeding, even longer because your hormones are still fluctuating after pregnancy. So I won't even do laser treatments or deep peels on people who are...
Postnatally?
I'm sorry?
Oh, while they're breastfeeding? Postnatally?
While they're breastfeeding, yeah.
So what things can you do?
So the Reiki facial side of things, I like to do that. And you could also do microneedling, which is able to help shrink the pores. And it's basically this little device that makes little stamps on the face, and it helps shrink the pores, helps with fine lines, and it just gives you a little boost of circulation
to the face. What does it feel like when you're doing it?
Everyone has a different kind of reaction, but it's not the most pleasant feeling, but it's not terrible. It's like from a 1 to 10, it's about like a 2. It's annoying more than anything.
Oh.
But the Reiki facial side of it, when you're doing
dermaplaning to exfoliate the skin, open up the pores, getting lymphatic drainage, which is super helpful while you're pregnant because you're holding in all that fluid.
So much fluid, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you're doing that on the skin. Immediately, it makes you look more refreshed and rejuvenated. And I think that's the one thing that all the moms are always kind of looking for, is that little tiny piece of, like, a moment of feeling rejuvenated.
So that's all built into a one session that
you
do.
Yeah, that's usually, like, 45 minutes to an hour. And then I'll use a more of a natural mask, depending on what the person's skincare needs are. If they're more dehydrated, I'll put something together that's hydrating for them. Or if they're dry, or if they're over oily.
Will you make the mask?
Yeah.
Or customized person to person?
Yeah. So I'll just put different ingredients together. Or I'll use masks that I know are more natural that I'm comfortable using during pregnancy. And when that mask is sitting on them, that's when I'll do some, I'll guide them into a meditation. So I'll usually do a visual guided meditation. So they'll get super relaxed and they'll really feel inside their body. And then that's when I'll start kind of bringing in the Reiki side of it. So by the end of the session, they're feeling super relaxed and at ease. All the muscles in the face are super relaxed.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah. And so when they come out of it, they're just looking vibrant and they're feeling clear and life is good.
Do dads do it?
They can do it. I don't.
Do you not do it with dads, or do dads?
I don't usually treat too many men for Reiki side of things. I think for me, I enjoy working with women.
But I mean, or just in general, do men do a lot of skincare in general? And then
they do actually. It's becoming much more common. So many of my patients will always bring their husbands in to do a little Botox and fillers.
Oh yeah.
But the energy work of things, I don't do the Reiki facial so much for male patients, but I'll send them to people that I trust and think are would be helpful to them.
So are there other people that do East-West like you do?
I think it's becoming more known. I don't know too many people right now, but within my company, I'm training other nurses and nurse practitioners to follow the same
with
philosophy.
With your techniques that you've developed.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really cool. And they're in New York, or you're bi-coastal?
In New York, yeah.
They're back in New York.
And then eventually in time, we'll start to, once after the second baby comes, we'll bring on some more people to train.
It sounds like it's not too far off in the distance.
I know.
What about nutrition and food and diet? How does that affect your skin?
So one thing I love to tell pregnant women, or even just my patients in general who are post-babies or just in general for anti-aging, and I've seen a huge difference even in my own skin when I drink bone broth, mix a little ghee, a little bit of lemon, and a little bit of ginger, immediately like your cells feel nourished. And then your skin, because
of collagen,
there's collagen in it. Yeah, and you immediately, like, I see a difference in my entire being after having a good solid cup of bone broth.
Do you make your own?
No, I go to Erewhon and I spend way too much money on a cup of bone broth.
Otherwise, it's like days making it, though.
It is. It's like a whole process.
Yeah.
But that's why you can get a crock pot, which I just need to master the crock pot bone broth thing.
I have a crock pot sitting in my closet and I buy bone broth.
But the bone broth is definitely helpful with anti-aging. And then I think the big thing is just finding a skincare line that works really good for you.
Do you have favorites?
I definitely have some that I recommend to people. Like, I think sunblocks, there's really good brand called Elta MD. It has zinc in it. There's tinted moisturizer in it, so it's kind of easy and you don't have to wear a lot of makeup over it. Because I like to be very simple with my routine.
Do you have products?
I don't. I mean, I definitely have products that I haven't made any yet, but there's products that I recommend people to get.
Okay. We don't have to talk about them. I just wanted to know if you have products. All right. Let's go into our break, and then we're going to talk about your babies.
Okay.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Nusha Salimi. I understand the mental demands of motherhood. I see it every day in my practice. That's why I'm excited about Needed's new cognitive support. Unlike other supplements, it's specifically formulated with postpartum and breastfeeding moms in mind, using safe and effective ingredients. This means that moms can get the brain boost they deserve without compromising safety. Plus, it includes clinically studied ingredients, proven to support focus and memory. Hurry and get your cognitive support from Needed before you forget. Visit thisisneeded.com and use your code Berlin to get 20% off your initial order. This episode is sponsored by an innovative product that's made a big difference for parents and babies alike, Dr. Mom Butt Balm. As a parent of four, I've had my fair share of battles with diaper rash, often resorting to thick, unpleasant pastes. I only recently discovered Dr. Mom Butt Balm, and I was immediately impressed by its pleasant consistency and ease of application. This pediatric-approved skin protectant is free from dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide, making it perfect for your baby's sensitive skin. It's designed by a doctor who's also a mom, ensuring your little one gets the gentlest care. A small dab is all it takes to soothe and protect, avoiding the mess and hassle of traditional treatments. With ingredients like dimethicone and petrolatum, Dr. Mom Butt Balm not only soothes, but also restores your baby's delicate skin. Available on Amazon.com and Walmart.com, it's the smart choice for every parent wanting to keep diaper rash at bay. Remember, with Dr. Mom Butt Balm, nothing comes between you and your baby, not even diaper rash. Welcome back to the Informed Pregnancy Podcast. Our guest today is Nusha Salimi. Let's talk about your babies. You make babies. You're making another one.
Yes.
How old is your first?
She is going to be 3 in May.
And how was your pregnancy with her?
So she was a little bit complicated. From 20 weeks, she was breech. And at the time, I was living in New York, and I went to this really well-respected doctor who immediately was like, well, we're going to schedule your C-section. And I had zero autonomy on what that decision was even going to look like. And basically, I had the choice of staying in New York throughout the pregnancy, or my husband was like, we have to come out to L.A. for my work anyway. And
oh, you didn't have a place here?
No. At the time, we didn't. And so basically, because I had my business that was really busy in New York, we kind of wrapped things up. And when I was 7 months pregnant, I came over here. And that's,
oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's I did not realize that you had just arrived off the.
Yeah. And I had talked to, and to be honest with you, Carmen was the reason why I was like, I want to go to L.A. and have my birth.
Wow.
So Carmen, who's my doula.
Yeah.
She's actually doing my postpartum doula.
This time.
She's doing closing of the bones, which I'm excited to experience.
Yeah.
But
I don't even know what that means.
So basically binding? It's like, I think it's a form of binding just taking care of the mom post.
But it sounds so much more when you say closing of the bones.
I know. I think it's like also just
if you
like
say
going
with a British accent, I'll try it myself.
So anyway, I talked to Carmen and she was like, she just was so soothing. And I just felt that that was where I needed to go. I needed to come here and have this baby.
So that doctor told you, oh, your breech, you're going to have a C-section at 20 weeks?
Yes.
But there's like 50% of babies are breech at 20 weeks. And also, what kind of birth were you planning to have?
Well, at the time, I didn't know of all the options. I knew I wanted to do something more natural. That was always my vision. But it was just like immediately, she's like, oh, this your baby's breech and that's what you're going to do. Do you have a C-section? I was like, well, what if I'm breech, you know, at the end? She's like, we'll just plan the C-section. And it wasn't really talked about any other option.
So you just thought in your mind, more natural, but so vaginal is more natural.
Yeah,
than
I wanted a vaginal birth. Like, that's what my vision was.
But
when
at
I got
a
her.
Hospital?
Well, in New York, I remember thinking about the idea of doing like a home birth, but there wasn't anyone that I had known enough about or connected to do that. So it was going to be in a hospital.
Were your friends having babies or were you the baby leader?
I was kind of the baby leader.
That doesn't surprise me. You're a
yeah.
leader.
I was. I remember I was like, oh. But most of the people I knew in New York that had babies, nobody was doing home births. It just, it's not a New York thing, mm-hmm. really. Especially
so you're
on the
planning
Upper East
a
side.
Vaginal low intervention hospital birth.
Yeah.
Until 20 weeks when you found out you were breech.
Yeah. Yeah. That was my plan. And then so basically I stayed
still
breech.
Shocking to my mind that at 20 weeks anybody would care that you're breech.
Well, I think that that's what she was just telling me about initially. She's like, that's how it's going to, like, if you stay breech, that's what's
happening.
Oh, she
was just saying, okay, not that we have to schedule it now, but if it doesn't turn, then just so you know.
Yeah, but she did schedule C-sections quite early because she was a very busy doctor.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah. So basically, then I was still breech when I left New York. So I was 7 months pregnant at that point, still breech. Came out here,
met with Alex, who is my midwife. Yeah. And she was so supportive and really helped me come to the conclusion that I wanted to do a breech home delivery, but hopefully turn the baby. And that's when I started meeting you, because I was having...
Get your kid to flip.
Yeah, we were trying.
Did you... Because Alex is a midwife that does home birth or birthing center birth, either one. Because you had planned a hospital birth.
Yeah, so. But then when we were moving out to California, I was like, I want to do a home birth.
Oh, really? Because yeah. It's California.
I think just because I knew...
LA.
Yeah, it was very LA. Because I wanted to do that in New York, but it just was like I wasn't going to do it in my one-bedroom apartment, and just didn't make sense, really, for me there.
When I moved, because I'm from New York, and when I moved to LA, I became vegan. I did for like an hour, but
it works. That's something that LA does to you.
Yeah,
vegan and all those things. But anyway, I was actually laughing. I don't know if we should edit that or not. But we were talking about this the other day. When anytime someone knows that you're like a healer, they're like, "Oh, so are you doing ayahuasca?
That's right.
Are you vegan? Have you done this?" I'm like,
yeah.
But anyway, edit that out.
No, we could. It's funny because my wife wanted to have an unmedicated childbirth with our first baby.
Yeah.
It came to me as like a total shock. We're medical people. You were a nurse at 18. I was working in ambulances. I became a medic, and I was working in ambulances and emergency rooms. And, we just grew up very medical. So midway through the pregnancy, she's like, "Yeah, I'm going to try to do it with no drugs." I'm like, "Why?" I'm like, we don't even drive a Prius. We're not vegan. Like, you shave your armpits. What's the deal?
Yeah.
And I had no idea.
I still don't understand, and I'm so curious. I can't remember the name of the book.
I'll explain to you.
What? The reason, the calling to wanting to do it without any medication?
Oh, I know why she wanted to do it with no medication.
Oh.
She does not like needles.
I don't know.
That was the drive.
For me, it was more like I wanted to fully experience what it was to be in that birthing state. And if I
hear people say that. Yeah, I hear people say exactly that. I think most of the people who want to do unmedicated birth feel it and say something like that.
Yeah. And I think also because when I got pregnant, I had just been on like a 2-year, very like kind of serious yoga and a journey. And I wasn't even drinking caffeine. Like I had only had a tea for a few years. It was very like,
herbal.
I felt very clean.
Herbal tea.
And so I think that was my idea with that. But anyway, so.
Oh, yeah, so then you had the option to do, your baby didn't turn.
She didn't turn.
You did everything.
I tried everything. I mean, I did. So Dr. Fishbein came. He did an aversion at home, which we were monitoring the baby. So she was safe. I mean, like I couldn't tell anyone who I knew in the medical world who are, doctors. They were just something you can't talk about, like home birth. Like, because you're
breech
literally
breech
judged.
Yeah.
And that, like, and it also because I am a nurse, you have more of that judgment on you. Like, why would you do that when you know the risks? But I felt like I'm pretty aware.
I feel like I heard your Persian accent for 1 second when you said nurse. Is that possible?
You might. Sometimes I have a Scottish accent / British / Iranian.
Okay.
It all comes in. And then I don't know where I'm from. And then / LA.
Welcome to America.
Exactly. So basically... she wouldn't turn, I was like, you know what, I'm going to try this. And the funniest part about it, so we're at home, I'm in labor for 2 days, pushing for 4 hours.
So you get to 10 centimeters with a breech baby at home.
Yeah, her bum came out.
Wow.
Half of her bum came out after pushing for 4 hours. And then I remember Dr. Fishbein at one point was like, "Stop pushing," because I think he had to turn her or something. And then I kind of clenched and I was like, "Eh." And then I was like, I want to go to the hospital now. But at that point, I looked like an Amazonian woman. I hadn't showered in 2 days. My hair had somehow become one chunk of hair. And then...
like on the doll, just
yes,
one piece.
Yes, it was just one piece. And then I remember looking at Richard, who every time I was pushing, because he was holding one leg, he was pushing too. So he was complaining that his hips hurt.
He's probably got hemorrhoids.
So the Dr. Fishbein pushes my daughter back in.
Because you wanted to go to the hospital.
Because I was like, I want to go to the hospital. I'm done. Poor Alex and Carmen and they had everyone there. Everyone was exhausted because we'd all been up for 2 days now, basically.
And they were expecting it to be 10 minutes away.
Yeah. And so I kind of was just, I just felt in my body. I knew that my baby was okay. I knew I was okay, but physically I knew that I needed to, my body couldn't handle it anymore.
Okay.
So we went to UCI Santa Monica. I walked into the ER and I was like, I looked insane. And I was like, where is the effing anesthesiologist? And then they brought me right in. But like the problem for me where I found it the hardest was that all the judgment I felt while I'm literally in labor. Mm. Like people were like, why would you have done this? Why? I was like, this is
because
what I wanted to do.
Breach or because
I was breached? Yeah.
So, you know, that's a big thing that maybe I just glanced over. Going to the hospital meant that you could no longer deliver vaginally.
Yeah. No, I had.
It wasn't like a head down baby that you're working at home and you get exhausted or the baby's not dropping. And so some of the interventions may be helpful to continue the vaginal birth. You made a choice. Baby was coming out of you already.
Yeah.
You made a choice not just to go to the hospital and get some pain relief. You're like, we're going to have a cesarean now.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so, like, I knew that going in. So, I was stopping in the hallway every minute because I was still having the contractions just holding her in, basically.
Just like on our podcast. Remember?
Yeah. Yeah. It was exactly.
We're recreating it.
Yeah. I know. I like to relive things.
I like it. Yeah.
So, anyway, they brought me right in. I had the C-section. But the beautiful thing about it was I had all this fear that I wasn't going to be present. And that was why I was so resistant against having the C-section. But one thing that Alex was really helpful to tell my husband was, you just need to help keep her present, and it's not going to be taking her away from this moment as much as she feared. So he did
a
little.
So he was the only one from your team that came in with you?
Yeah, he was in the room
with
me.
To the OR?
Mm-hmm. And he videoed it, and of course he scored it and made it this whole, like,
yes, I still haven't seen it.
Oh, I'll send it to you. And it reminded me that.
He's a filmmaker.
Yeah, it reminded me that no matter what, that. She came out and she was happy, healthy, and it was a beautiful thing still. It was still that moment where you cried tears of joy. And I had this fear that if you were going to have a C-section, you're just not going to be present for your baby.
No, it doesn't have to be that way.
Yeah.
We have an episode of our podcast called The Gentle Cesarean.
Yeah.
Where we talk very much about the sacred, beautiful moment that the baby comes through your body into the world and it doesn't.
With Dr. Gosland.
Yeah. That's a different episode of The Gentle Cesarean. That's a video one. Mm. But this one is with Dr. Shavira. And it just, you know, I think people listen to it and then, you know, if you choose or want or need to have a cesarean for some reason, then it's really important to know what you just said. It's still a birth moment.
Yeah.
Especially if it's not an emergency, you know. Mm-hmm. Flash forward a little bit. You are pregnant again.
So I'm pregnant again, and I don't have all the attachments around having to have it be exactly as my plan is. And I think because I was able to experience what it was to go into labor, I was able to experience what it was to push and, you know, have some of that home birth experience. I am going to go for a VBAC.
Are you open about what you're having?
A boy.
Oh, it's a boy.
It's a boy.
So it's already different.
It's very different. And you feel.
And this one's head down.
This one's head down. He was originally breech. And I was like, oh, man. I was like, there must be something in my pelvis. And then I did a bunch of yoga and did different inversions. And I remember my husband and I were sitting in bed and we saw him turning and he was like, this is how they came up with the movie Aliens.
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
Yeah, it's so bizarre. And then so he flipped. So I'm super happy about that. And the one thing I have to say, interestingly enough, the difference between having a girl versus a boy is I definitely feel a difference in the hormones.
How so?
I feel like definitely more hormonal with a boy. I don't feel like, you know, with the skin, interestingly enough, I remember with my daughter, it was more facially, like the skin expanded differently.
Hmm.
And this one, because I'm always observing stuff with skin anyway,
sure,
but this
thing.
One, it's just, I don't feel as much of the skin changes.
Really?
Yeah. It's
people
it's,
say that, but you feel it.
Yeah, I feel it. But I knew when I was pregnant because the second that the elasticity in my skin changed, I was like, wait, there's something going on in my body. There's something that the body does when that, I think that when the relaxin hormones in the body.
Yeah, it's pretty quick.
Yeah, it's like immediately, like the body starts to just respond to it. And you can see like it's almost like more rubbery. And
we see that on the chiropractic side because sometimes the symptoms will start like, how do I have sciatica? I'm only 6 weeks pregnant, but the hormones are already changing. The joints are already becoming lax and you're losing stability in some areas, blood flow that could go, maybe be compressed now and other things like that. I'm like, but I'm just 6 weeks pregnant, but the change is already taking place.
Yeah, that's so interesting.
So this time you're planning, you have a head down boy.
Head down boy.
And you're planning on a hospital birth.
I am. I mean, to be honest, I was going to do I was going to do a home birth with Alex again, but just because it is a VBAC.
Vaginal birth after cesarean.
Vaginal birth after cesarean. I think I'm going to go for the hospital birth.
You don't sound 100% convinced, though.
Because I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not fully. I'm just going with the
But Alex is going to be with you anyway.
Alex is going to be with
me. And you're
going to
labor at home for a while anyway.
I'm going to labor at home. I'm going to have Patty with me.
So if, like, this, I mean, will you be set up so that if everything's going great and the baby just comes out, you keep it as a home birth?
Yeah, like, oopsie. Baby came at home.
Yeah, I mean, because they do VBACs at home.
They do.
They'd be comfortable doing
VBACs
at home.
But, you know, I do have a... The doctor is planning for me to be at the hospital.
But you sound up in the air, like, let's labor at home and let's see what happens.
Yeah, that's what I'm kind of doing.
I mean, it could be that the first one you're planning to have at home and you had at the hospital.
I just can't tell anyone that I'm planning. If, like, the thing about the...
If you're listening, close your ears.
Because all of my family and all of Richard, and everyone just, because they knew what happened the last time, they're like, I've honestly been, like, the flow of whatever's going to be the most comfortable situation for me and then whoever's with me.
Are you going to do Reiki while you're in labor?
Yeah. I'll definitely do
that.
Do
you do it on yourself, or does somebody have to do it for
you? Yeah, no, you can do it for yourself. That's why I recommend everyone to go and do
even,
like, the Reiki.
Do you have enough time to learn Reiki so I can do it for you?
Yes. We'll pass it over to you right now, the energy.
I get it. It's coming.
Yeah, I mean, people can do online courses for Reiki 1 and 2. And, yeah, it's just it's a beautiful way to find healing within yourself. Mm-hmm. So I definitely recommend people do it. But you can totally do it during birth. I've done it for friends while they've been in labor. And it's just really, really helpful.
Sounds cool. You know how Alex sometimes calls me to a birth when something's up? Like if there's back spasms or the baby's rotated badly or back labor or anything like that. Sometimes a midwife or a doula will call and say, even people I've never met before, hey, can you come in here and, like, help us out a little bit? This weekend I got called to a birth, very bizarre, at Cedars-Sinai where I go all the time. And the reason it was bizarre is because I was a couple I'd never met before. The doula was calling me for the dad, not the mom. Something he had thrown his neck out in the middle of her labor. So I'm in there, he's sitting in a chair, and I'm digging into his, like, big spasm. He can't turn his neck out. I'm digging in, and he's like, argh! And then all of a sudden she's on the bed and she's like, argh!
They were like having referred pain.
Yeah, I was like, this
other.
Is so sweet, you know. What a date.
But you naturally have all those healing powers within your hands. You're just not calling it Reiki.
Yeah, I'm not calling it Reiki. But I could call it Reiki.
You can. You can call it whatever you want to call it, but there's something coming through the energetic things from your hands.
Oh, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, who's on your team? Who's coming to your birth?
So Patty Quintero.
She's going to be your doula.
She's going to be my
time,
doula.
Your labor doula.
Yeah. And then Carmen Thomas, if she's in town, she'll also come join us. We just want to have a big party, a birth party.
Okay.
Carmen will be there at some point. And then Alex Evangeletti.
Will be your monitrice, I suppose.
Yes.
Midwife.
Yes.
With monitoring privileges.
Yes, hopefully. And then I'm also working with Dr. Gosland, if in the worst case scenario, I need to do a C-section.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to do that, because he's going to do the gentle cesarean.
Gentle cesarean. But he's also, I mean, according to the plan, if you go to the hospital to deliver
he's totally
he's your
open
hospital
to.
Doctor.
Yeah, but he does not go over the due date.
Oh, really? Wait a second. This is news.
Mm-hmm. I went and I asked all my questions.
Okay, we'll have to talk about that. So hold on 1 second. At home, will your daughter be there?
Yeah, she'll be there, and she's very excited.
Have you talked to her about birth?
Oh, all the time. She's obsessed with watching her birth video.
Oh, she watches that video.
She watches it all the time. I'm going to send it to you to watch tonight, so you can get the visual of it all.
I love it. And then Richard, I suppose, will be there.
Yes,
for some of it, your husband.
Yeah. And maybe, hopefully, you can come too.
Coming. I'd love to be there. I can cook whatever you need. I'm not sure.
Richard will be asking for adjustments because you know it can't always be just about me. He always has to have something.
Every time I see you, next time I come over, I'm going to work on you and then I'm going to do some Botox with him.
Literally, I'll have an entire day of patience and I'll be exhausted. And he'll be like, baby, can you do a little bit of Reiki on me? I'm like, I have nothing left to give.
I can picture both of you doing that. You made him sound like Austin Powers, though.
He's kind of like him.
A little bit. And then, so you're open. Like, it does, however this goes, it goes.
Yeah, I'm not attached to anything. I'm okay with whatever. As long as this baby comes out healthy and happy and sleeps well during the night, I'm going to be very happy.
In your first birth, when you were laboring at home, did you want to be touched or not want to be touched?
Yeah.
I was
in and out of the bath. Carmen was massaging me. I don't know how she had these supernatural powers to stay awake and massage me for so long. Like, that blows my mind.
It's auto, because I've been to birth for 23 hours, and when I'm dooling, I'm usually body working.
Like, dooling is, I think, the number one thing that everyone should have. Because your spouse also, like, it just puts, like, an energetic balance for the spouse, too, because no matter what, they're going to be obviously nervous, too, whoever's there kind of going with you. And I think the doula just brings in such a nice balance to the couple. And then for the mom laboring,
Here's a little secret. I'm a doula and my wife is a doula. And for all four of our kids, we hired a doula.
Yeah, I think it's so, I mean, until I experienced it, I was like, whoa, this is literally worth every single penny and a lot more.
I think it's nice to have a birth party, even if you're not pregnant, just to get all those people that you just mentioned.
I just love all those people. Like, I want to pay them just to hang out with me.
Absolutely. I can totally see that. We should do that during a big birth party one day.
Yeah.
I hate it. We're out of time. I love talking to you. I learned stuff from you. And I did not know anything about skincare 44 years, and I'm finally starting to learn. I should have washed my face as a kid. Oh, well.
I feel like you look younger just from our talk, actually.
Thank you. Yeah. I feel the gray going away. Your business is Rejuvenate, mm-hmm. your company.
Rejuvenate with Nusha.
How do we find you online?
So you can go to the website at rejuvenatewithnusha.com, or you can look at Instagram at rejuvenatewithnusha to find out more about the Reiki facials, about the different treatments that I offer injectable-wise in a more natural way. And contact us and see if you're a good fit for any of the treatments.
Yeah. I hope you'll come back afterwards and we can talk about how this awesome birth party went down.
Yeah. It'll be fun.
Thanks for being here at home. Thanks for listening. If you have topics you want to hear about, you know how to get a hold of us, info@informedpregnancy.com.
Doctor, doctor, give me the news. I got a whole lot of questions for you. This kid's gonna test my will. I got a lot to learn and my baby's due.
This episode is sponsored by an innovative product that's made a big difference for parents and babies alike, Dr. Mom Butt Balm. As a parent of four, I've had my fair share of battles with diaper rash, often resorting to thick, unpleasant pastes. I only recently discovered Dr. Mom Butt Balm, and I was immediately impressed by its pleasant consistency and ease of application. This pediatric-approved skin protectant is free from dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide, making it perfect for your baby's sensitive skin. It's designed by a doctor who's also a mom, ensuring your little one gets the gentlest care. A small dab is all it takes to soothe and protect, avoiding the mess and hassle of traditional treatments. With ingredients like dimethicone and petrolatum, Dr. Mom Butt Balm not only soothes, but also restores your baby's delicate skin. Available on Amazon.com and Walmart.com, it's the smart choice for every parent wanting to keep diaper rash at bay. Remember, with Dr. Mom Butt Balm, nothing comes between you and your baby, not even diaper rash.